But now let's leap back to America, to the Rockies, to see how a more traditional botanist does her work.
I am Jennifer Ackerfield, head curator of natural history collections and the associate director of biodiversity research at Denver Botanic Gardens.
In a wonderful building, yes, I can see all sorts of illustrations here. Some of them are real plants and some of them are pictures. Take me around. First, which will you choose, Jennifer?
Well, I always love to start with our state flower, the Rocky Mountain Columbine, Aquilegia coerulea. This is a pressed specimen of our state flower here, but I like to show it with a photo as well. Then you can really see how the real living plant is transformed into this work of art as it's pressed and dried and put on this piece of paper. Some of the color is retained, some of it is lost, but the really wonderful thing is by comparing it with the photograph, we can still see where that color was. And with the herbarium specimen, though, we can do things with it that we can't do with a photograph. We can take these leaves, we can extract DNA from that, and we can use this in all kinds of different studies. Herbarium specimens are incredibly valuable in that way.
And I must say, this is a real plant, and the shading of the different colors blends beautifully. It is a work of art.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not just a poor plant being squashed up onto a page.
I mean, it is that too.
do you do the squashing?
I do the squashing. So when people find out that I am a botanist and I work at the Botanic Gardens, they assume that I am out there with the living plants. And I always say, well, let's take a step back. Do you like growing plants or do you like killing plants? And people usually like growing plants. And I say, well, then you need to talk to a horticulturist. I am a botanist.
Boticide.
Yes. Mm. I take the plants and I squish them.
Oh, yes. But tell me botanically what I'm looking at. I know it's beautiful, but is it an alpine plant?
It can go up into the alpine or on the edges of aspen forest. And then up in the alpine, it actually oftentimes loses a lot of that color and becomes a pure white almost flower, which is really cool. It has these long spurs at the back of each of the sepals and petals, and those spurs actually contain a large amount of nectar for pollinators. So it's pollinated here by things like hawk moths, which use their long tongue to get all the way down and scoop up that nectar.
And next here is a grass, perhaps?
Yes. So the reason I pulled this one out is I would like for you to look at the date that it was collected, in particular the year.
August the 5th, 1944. I was 7 months old. Thank you.
Yes. The year that you were born.
and so was FDR.
Yeah.
Roosevelt.
And actually our emeritus curator, who annotated this, Janet Wingate.
And Vanessa Redgrave, by the way.
Oh, I did not know that. Oh, fantastic.
And one vice president of the United States while we're gossiping. But lovely grass, apart from that, having been collected.
Yes. Well, it was also collected by one of our very first curators of Denver Botanic Gardens herbaria. The herbarium here was actually started as a volunteer effort to create a collection of plants for the people of Denver so that they could come and see what is growing in the mountains, out in the canyons, the plateaus, the grasslands, all within the Denver Botanic Gardens.
Splendid. And next, I cannot see what's in the folder, but it's a type specimen. In other words, this is the one upon which all the other types are measured.
Correct. Well, I like to call them the reference for a species.
That's right.
Yes. So if you describe a new species, you have a type that people can then refer back to and always be able to look at this plant and understand what does it actually represent? What does it look like? What is this species? So this is actually one that I named. I know. Look at that. This is Cirsium funky. People call it the funky thistle, but really it's...
Funky
it's,
thistle?
Yes.
That's the name like of that? A pop star, isn't it?
I do believe so.
Could be.
I was trying to come up with a funky thistle dance, but it never worked out. So this is one that I named, I pulled out using that DNA evidence extracted from the leaves, as well as this morphological evidence to say, actually, this is something that we have been calling this thing, Cirsium scapularum.
Ooh.
Actually, they're quite different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but part of the problem is that when they dry, they lose a lot of the color. And so that's where this photographic evidence came in.
I see. Yes.
Yeah.
The colors are different, but thistles obviously prickles everywhere. And it's a very busy plant.
Yes. I always say every thistle I collected provided a blood sacrifice for that specimen.
Talking about blood sacrifice, I want to mention Miriam Rothschild because she has been on the Science Show. She's now no longer with us, but she was very close to a fellow called Charles, who's now King.
Ah.
And she told him how to organize flowers, especially around his house, Highgrove, to attract butterflies. And when I look at your shoulder, there is an illustration of exactly what she was... You've got a wonderful tattoo.
Oh, thank you.
Of the plants and a butterfly
and
hovering. Does it have proper scientific associations?
I'm sure that it does.
But the tattooist didn't tell you.
I'm a botanist. One of my entomology friends was appalled. He said, I cannot believe you have that butterfly with that plant. You know they're not associated together.
Miriam would be cross.
I said, but it's so pretty.
Yeah. But is there an interest at all in planting particular flowers to attract all sorts of species?
Oh, definitely. I do research in studying pollinator preferences and the effects of that on diversification of certain groups of plants.
Well, you mentioned just now
the
pollen, the ways in which those flowers are exploited by creatures.
Oh, yes. Like with the columbine and the nectar.
Yes. And the nectar.
Yes. It's quite a mutualistic association. Can't have one without the other. Yeah.
And this whole department has got, what, hundreds and hundreds of different specimens like this?
Oh, yes. We have approximately 75,000 plant specimens and about 30,000 fungal specimens, so over 100,000 specimens within our natural history collections here.
And do you go out to schools and try to interest the young people in this sort of thing?
Oh, of course we do. Yes, we do a lot of career chats. There are a lot of free days at the gardens, so we have booths set up where we invite people to come talk to us. We do tours a lot for school groups, and in fact, in the summer, we usually have a few interns from high schools around the Denver metro area to just show them that anyone can be a scientist.
On Sunday, I actually came in here and I saw the young people painting from plants. And I gave one or two of them my lecture on Beatrix Potter.
Oh, fantastic. Did they enjoy that?
They pretended.
They were very polite.
Indeed. Thank you very much indeed. Privileged to be here.
Yes, you're very welcome.
Jennifer Ackerfield, Head Curator, Natural History, Denver Botanical Gardens, showing how botany can be a marvellous source of fun.